Hello and welcome back to Ask a Monk. Now I'd like to answer a question about pain in meditation. When you feel a great amount of pain during your meditation, is it necessary to sit still and ensure that you never move? If a person moves, is there something wrong with that? Or is the point of meditation to be able to not move? Is it wrong practice if you move your body? And this is a very simple question with a very simple answer, but it actually has some profound implications. So I'm going to take a little bit of time to answer it in some detail. The simple answer first is yes, indeed, you can move. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with moving your body. You know, we move it all the time. The problem here, of course, that we have to understand is that moving based on pain creates aversion towards the pain. Now, that's very all very well in theory. You know, you shouldn't move because if you move, you're moving based on aversion. But it can actually go the other way, where you crush your aversion to the pain and you force yourself to sit, in fact, creating more tension and more stress because there's the forcing. No, there's the not complying with nature, and in fact sometimes nature dictates that it's necessary to move. The appropriate reaction, the physical reaction, is to move. Once you get on in the meditation, this will change. First of all, there'll be less pain. Second of all, it will bring less stress and tension and less of a desire to move. The pain will become just another sensation, and the mind won't say something's wrong or feel that something's wrong. It will just see it as a sensation and be content with it and not upset by it. So you won't need to move. Now, in the beginning, this isn't the case. In the beginning, it brings more stress and tension and really great problems. So what we should do is be mindful of it. And when it first comes, we should certainly try to be as mindful of it as possible and not move without immediately moving our bodies, because this is a great teacher for us, and this is what I'd like to get into. But the basic technique is to say to ourselves, pain, 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 just quietly, not out loud, but in the mind, just focusing on the pain and reminding ourselves, hey, this is just pain, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not a negative experience, there's nothing intrinsically bad about pain. The universe really doesn't care whether you're in pain or not, and so it's not something that is intrinsically negative. What is negative is your negative reactions to it, your anger, your frustration, your thinking that it's bad, that it's a problem, that you have to do something about it. So when you see it simply as pain, and all of that goes away, this is really the truth. It's something that you should try. You know, these videos are not meant to just be, oh, that sounds nice, I agree with that, and then you go home or go back to Facebook or whatever. These are something you should put into practice. So when I say this, you know, try it and find out for yourself, because it really has wonderful consequences. Any kind of pain that you come up with in your life, suddenly it's no longer a great problem or a great difficulty. It's something that you can deal with mindfulness and clarity and wisdom, and not have to suffer from. Once that becomes too much, in the beginning that's very difficult to do, and you're not really mindful, you're mostly a pain, and you're really angry about it anyway. So saying pain isn't really acknowledging, it's reinforcing the anger and the hate. No. So when it gets to that point where it's overwhelming and you feel like you have to move, then just move mindfully. You can lift your leg, moving your hand, moving, say to yourself, moving, placing, grasping, lifting, moving, placing, or you can just move your leg without, if you're sitting in this position, just lifting, moving, placing. Just do it mindfully, and it becomes a meditation. Because eventually our whole life should become meditation. We should try to be as mindful as we can in our daily lives. When we eat, we're mindful. When we drink, we're mindful. Everything we do, we know what we're doing. We move our hand, this should be moving, shaking. When we talk, we should know that we're talking. What is this feeling? Are my lips moving? Even to that extent, you can be mindful. When you're listening, you can say hearing, and acknowledging the sound, and you'll find that you really understand the meaning much better, and you get less caught up in your own emotions and judgments and so on. So This is the basic technique. Now, the theory behind pain and how it's such a good teacher is that eventually pain is one of the best teachers that we have, because pain is something that we don't like. It's our aversion. It's our problem. You know? It's if it weren't for pain, if it weren't for things like pain, then we would never need to practice meditation. We would never think to come and practice meditation. Why would we? What's the point? You know, wasting all this time when we can be out enjoying life. But the problem is that in our life, it's not all fun and games. And in fact, our clinging leads us to have suffering because we don't like certain things. We're not content. We're thinking about the good things. And so when a bad thing comes, it makes us angry because it's not what we want and so on. So what we're basically doing here is learning how to live with it and how to see it for what it is and see it simply as another experience, not as a bad thing, and not seeing other things as good things. And so the theory here is that most people understand, it has to do with how people understand suffering. An ordinary person understands suffering to be, and suffering here is of course the big elephant in the room. It's what we as Buddhists deal with. It's what we talk about, what we teach, and yet always have a great amount of difficulty talking about. But this is because most people understand suffering to be the pain, and suffering to be a feeling. This is what the Buddha said, dukkha vedana. Dukkha vedana means dukkha is suffering, vedana is the feeling. So we understand dukkha to be a vedana, to be a feeling that you get. You know, you get this feeling, that's dukkha, that's suffering. You get that feeling, that's suffering. You get another feeling, and it's not suffering. So we categorize our experiences. This one is suffering, this one is not suffering. And as a result, our means of overcoming suffering, of being free from suffering, is to find a way to only have these experiences and to never have these experiences. This, you know, doesn't that sound normal? That's how we get rid of suffering. That's because that's what we're told, that's what we're taught, and it's totally false. It's totally wrong. It's the wrong way to deal with suffering, but this is how we do. Why is it wrong? Okay, so you have, you know, pain in the leg, you move your leg, and then you have pain in the back, and so then you have to stretch your back. And then you have pain in your head, and so you have to take a pill for the pain. Then you have pain, you know, here, pain there, and you have to take another pill, or you have to get an operation, or so on and so on. And all this time, you're developing more and more aversion to the pain until eventually it becomes totally overwhelming. Now, when a person takes a pill for a headache, really what they're doing is reaffirming their aversion towards the pain. And as a result, it's going to be worse next time. It's going to be worse and worse and worse. Not because the pain changes, but because our attitude towards it is reaffirmed as being, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, 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 until it becomes totally unbearable. These things are not static. Craving is not static. It builds. It turns into a habit. It changes our whole vibration in that direction, and it changes the world around us as well. Anger does as well, aversion does as well. We become totally averse to these things and unable to bear them. So what we come to see, and the reason why we come to practice meditation, is the second type of suffering that the Buddha said, and it's dukkha sambhava. Sambhava means reality of suffering, that suffering is a fact. You can't escape it. It's reality. It's a part of reality. And this is like getting old is a part of reality, getting sick is a part of reality, dying is a part of reality. So these methods of overcoming suffering, or these you know, ways of avoiding the unpleasant part of reality, are temporary, are ineffective. Because it's there, it's a part of life. It's not going to go away. You're not going to be to remove it. You know, you're not going to get rid of sickness. You're not going to get rid of old age. You're not going to get rid of death. These things are going to come to you. And it's this realization, when we have a situation that we can't overcome. People who have migraine headaches, they've taken every pill and nothing works. People who are mourning a person who passed away, they can drink or they can whatever. but nothing works, and they're still sad, they're still thinking about the person, nothing works. When a person gets to this point, this is most often when they begin to practice meditation. When they get to the point where they realize they're totally on the wrong path, when they realize that this reaffirmation of greed, anger, delusion is totally dragging them down in the wrong path and is not helping. Their reactions towards suffering, their ways of dealing with suffering are ineffective. This is the second type of suffering. It's a very important realization, because that's what leads to the conclusion that we have to do something. People say, why do you meditate? What's the point wasting your time? Well, those people have not yet realized, this is what they haven't yet realized. For a person who has realized that, you know, you can't really escape it. You know, you can say, I go out and party and I'm happy. I've tried it, and I'm not able to escape suffering in the way you pretend or you think you're able to. My experience is that suffering is a part of life. It's something that we either learn to deal with, or we suffer more and more and more. It gets worse and worse and worse. So we find a way. So this is when we come to practice meditation. When we come to practice meditation, we realize the third truth, the third type of suffering. Now, the third way of understanding this word suffering. And this is that suffering is inherent in all things. Just as heat is inherent in fire. You know, there's no fire that is not hot. Fire is hot. That's in a conventional sense, fire is hot. By the same token, all things in the world, anything that arises, is suffering. And what we mean by this is, just as fire is hot, if you hold on to it, it burns you. When something arises and you cling to it, it makes you suffer. Why this happens is basically what I've been saying. When it's something good, you cling to it as good, and then it disappears. When it disappears, you're unhappy, you're looking for it, because there's still the wanting, there's still the clinging in your mind. And in fact, you cultivate it and develop it, and it comes up again and again. I want this, I want this, I like this, I like this. When it's gone, the craving doesn't go away. The experience is gone, and who knows when it'll come back. If it's an unpleasant experience, the craving, aversion, go away, and pushing it away with this method or that method makes it worse, and so on. When we practice meditation, we come to realize that, no, these things are not really going to make me happy. Clinging to good things is not going to make me happy. Why? Because they come and they go. They arise and they cease. If my happiness depends on that, how can I ever hope to be happy? If, say, my happiness depends on this person, you come to realize that that person is only experiences. You hear something and that's that person. You see something and that's that person. You think of something and that's that person. But all of those experiences are impermanent, and they're uncertain. You don't know whether they're going to say something good to you. Maybe someone you love says something bad to you and you suffer from it. And the realization that it's not sure. There's no person there that's wonderful. There's a bunch of experiences waiting to happen, and those experiences will not all be pleasant. When the person dies, if they're a loved one, then that will be a very unpleasant thing. This realization we come to through our meditation practice, even just watching, you know, our own body, watching the rising and falling of the stomach, coming to see that every single thing that arises has to pass away. It comes and it goes. Coming to see that we do it even with our stomach. We're rising and falling. Oh, now it's smooth, and then we like it. And then suddenly it changes, and it's rough and uncomfortable, and we can't really find it, and we're angry and upset. Well, even this very stupid, simple object of the stomach can teach us everything we need to know about reality, because it shows us our mind. It shows us the way we project and the way we relate to things and make more out of things than they actually are. Through the meditation practice, we'll come to break down people, break down things and experiences into individual phenomena that arise and cease and come and go. And so, as a result, we see that none of them are pleasant or none of them are satisfying. And this is what it means by suffering, that our happiness should never depend on these things. It depends on a person. That person doesn't exist. It's just experiences, coming to see that our relationship with the person is just through experiences, which are never going to satisfy us. The only thing they could possibly do is bring more clinging and craving and dissatisfaction and the need for more and so on. And we will never truly be at peace with ourselves. People think that they will, but you can look at those people and see that they're not really truly at peace with themselves. And through the meditation we come to see this, and so we come to gain true peace for ourselves. As you see these things, you know, you'll see things arising, even just the stomach coming and going, and you'll see the clinging and how useless it is to cling to it, to be this way or that way because it's changing. You see it coming and going and that it's not under your control. You see impermanence, suffering, non-self, these three characteristics. As this goes on, the fourth type of suffering, or the fourth way of understanding suffering comes to you, and that is as the truth. And this is what we call, you know, you hear about the noble truth of suffering. And this is the realization that we're hoping for. This realization, it's not a good, it's not satisfying. These are not going to make me happy. This realization is the fourth type of way of understanding suffering. Is really the consummation of the Buddha's teaching. It's this, you know, starting to see things, seeing things coming and going, oh, this isn't satisfying, that is. And you just realize at some point that this isn't the way to find happiness. It's not intellectual, of course, I'm just, you know, putting words to it, but it's suddenly a boom. The mind just says, no, and the mind gives up, the mind lets go. And at that point, there's, you know, freedom. The mind is released, and you enter into this state of total freedom, which really there's no experience at all. There's no seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, or even thinking. You're not even aware. It's like kind of like falling asleep, but it's total peace. And when you come back, you realize, wow, I just totally let go. You know, there was no arising of anything at that point. And this is, you know, we call nirvana, this realization. And a person starts to realize this and looking around and seeing that their happiness can't come from anything outside of themselves. And so they cultivate this more and more and more and start to see the truth more and more and more and eventually are able to become totally free from suffering. So, but the point being that it's this realization, you know, when you talk about nirvana and so on, and this, see for yourself. You know, the Buddha's teaching is to see for yourself. But the point, which I think everyone can understand, is that we have to see this reality. We have to really grasp this, that we're not going to find happiness in the things outside of ourselves. And that these phenomena that arise, there's no good that can come from clinging, even in terms of aversion. There's no good that comes from wanting to escape it or wanting to even force yourself to sit still in this case. So it's a very simple question with a very simple answer, but here are the profound implications to do with suffering that help us to understand why it is that we might want to sit through it sometimes. And if we can get that through our head, then, you know, sometimes we can sit through it. We say, you know, yeah, I want to move, but it's not really a big deal. It's not going to kill me, and I'm going to learn something here. And as you do that, you'll see how your mind works. You'll see the craving and the aversion. And you see how the phenomenon works and how it arises and ceases, and see that there's no good that comes from being angry about it or upset about it. You don't feel happier. It doesn't solve the problem. It creates more aversion. Moving your foot doesn't solve the problem. It's a temporary solution to kind of ease the pressure when it's too much for you. But eventually, you're just going to, you know, say, why would I move my foot again? I've moved my foot 10 times already. It didn't solve the problem. And eventually, you give that up. And you say, well, I'll just sit through it. That's what happens in meditation when you go to an intensive course. In the beginning, the pain here, you say, okay, I can fix that. And you put a pillow under here, and then this one, and then you put a pillow under here, and then here you put a pillow, and here you put a pillow. Until eventually you just say, oh, it's not working. It's not solving the problem. And you give up. And that's the realization that we're striving for. You realize that more and more and more. Eventually you'll realize that that's the truth. That's the truth of reality. And you'll let go and not cling. So, this is my discussion of the truth of suffering in the Buddha's teaching. Thanks for tuning in, and I wish you all the best, that you're all able to put this into practice and try your best to become patient and be able to overcome your attachments and aversions and suffering and find true peace, happiness, and freedom from suffering. So, all the best.